461-3000. That's 461-3000. Or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network, on the air in Waycross at 91.3. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion that we have each and every day on Let's Face the Issues. I would suggest today, pick up the telephone, call your friend, relatives, neighbors, acquaintances next door. Let them know that we're on the air and invite them to join in the dialogue and the discussion. And may I remind you, lest I forget it, during the course of the broadcast today, shortly after a brief monologue, the telephone lines will be open, inviting your telephone call to join in the dialogue and the discussion on the issue of the day. And lest I forget it, and sometimes I do, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. By the way, we've heard a lot in the past, week, 10 days, since President Trump there was an attempted assassination on his life. Last evening, in his address at the Republican National Convention, Donald Trump said, "I'm here by the grace of God." Further in his speech, in fact, on two or three occasions, President Trump said, "It was God's divine intervention that I'm here." And it's as a result of God's divine intervention. It's because of God's intervention in the life and the affairs of man. And what does it mean when we talk about God's grace? In fact, on one occasion, President Trump said, "I'm here by the grace of God." And then on another occasion, it was God's divine intervention. And he said that two or three or four times in the past week or 10 days. So what does that really mean? What is divine intervention? What does it mean, the providence of God? What are we talking about? We're talking about the sovereignty of God. The providence of God, the sovereignty of God, God's divine intervention is basically boiled into one statement and one understanding of the scripture. That is, God is sovereign. God is in control. God is divinely intervening in the hearts and the lives of humanity to carry out his will for this whole world and for America. We're going to talk about that today. I believe most listening, you've not considered, you've not thought about what it means. What does it mean, God's divine intervention? What does it mean when we talk about God's providence has brought us to the point and place that we are? Those are the things we'll talk about, look at. We'd love to hear from you, your opinions, your thoughts, or your addition to what we're saying on this subject today. I believe it's vital that we understand it, get a handle on it, and understand what God is doing. Is God just simply sitting by with his hands tied and say, can't do anything about the condition of the world? Or is God sitting on the throne? Is God ruler over all? Is God sovereignly in control of this whole world? Is God divinely intervening when, where, and how he sees fit? All of those questions, I believe, need to be answered, begs to be answered, demands to be answered, and every child of God, every Christian, needs to understand what we're talking about today. So, ladies and gentlemen, as we talk about the issues, let me remind you, we face the issues based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's the truth book. When Jesus was talking with his disciples in John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus says, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 17:17, the Bible makes a declaratory statement, "Thy word is truth, And Jesus himself in John 14:6 says, I am truth. Further in Psalms 117, verse 2, the scripture says the truth of the Lord endures forever. So what does it mean, the truth of the Lord endures forever? What is truth? Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we need to understand the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will demand and despise and hate those who speak it. The secularist George Orwell said that. Let me just read you his quote. The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we find that to be the epitome of truth today. But truth matters, regardless of what you think about truth, regardless of what you believe about truth. Truth matters. And we are in a society today where so many of society, 55% of the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, 55% say that there's no absolute truth. No absolute truth. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, 55% of the youth today, the millennials today, make this statement. Each person determines his or her own version of truth. Now, that is not so. If a person can have his or her own version of truth, that means there's no such thing as absolute truth. Any bifurcation or any detraction from the centrality of truth is not truth at all. I've used the term, you've heard me before, a half-truth is a whole lie. We need to recognize what truth happens to be based on the authority of the Scripture. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus said, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. Jan Hus, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, did that. When he was being burned at the stake, he screamed out, truth shall prevail. And may I remind you today, truth shall prevail in our world, in the nation in which we're living in. Truth will ultimately prevail. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own lawn care business, ladies and gentlemen. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for homeowners, brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the professional, as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time can answer your questions about the hurricane preparedness equipment. They have the Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old San Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. There's a benchmark, an identifier. There's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole is the U.S. flag, Old Glory, flowing 24/7. The base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, wait, wait. There's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment that you're working in. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's Word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does, place you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, we're talking about today, what is divine intervention? That's the question. What is divine intervention? And I'll say again, Donald Trump, in fact, his speech was about 2 hours. I watched it all. Don't know if you did or not. About 2 hours. By the way, immediately after his speech, I rolled to another channel, and the truth deniers were talking about Donald Trump told 30 lies during the course of his speech. 30 lies. And the very things that they were calling lies were the things that were truthful that they were trying to in some way bifurcate or twist and make it sound like he was telling lies. But ladies and gentlemen, the bottom line is that we're talking about today, when Donald Trump said, I'm here by the grace of God, during the course of his speech, he said two or three times made that statement. And he was talking about the divine intervention, as he called it, It was God's divine intervention. It was by the grace of God, he said, that he's alive. What is he talking about? He was speaking about the fact that when the assassin's bullet whizzed through his right ear rather than through his brain, which is what the assassin was aiming at, why did Donald Trump turn his head in that nanosecond? Why was it that that assassin's bullet basically grazed him by going through his ear? Why did that happen? Why was his life spared? Why is he still alive today? Can you answer that question? Donald Trump is saying it's because of the grace of God. Donald Trump is saying it's because of the divine intervention of God that saved his life. Ladies and gentlemen, it is God that is sovereignly in control. It is God that is the creator controller. It is God that's in charge of the affairs of man. And many times, in fact, most of the time, man will in some way be led to believe that it is man that's in control. Yes, listen, I want us to understand something at the very outset of this dialogue and discussion. I want us to understand man is created by God as a volitional being. Man has the volitional choice of doing what man determines he wants to do. Man is not a puppet or a robot. There's some theological thinkers today that basically say that because of the sovereignty of God, man has no volition, man has no choice, man cannot make a free will decision. What we're talking about today does not in any way obstruct, does not in any way bifurcate, does not in any way nullify, does not in any way destroy the free will of man. The free will of man and the sovereign hand of God are both true, but two separate tracks that are truthful and absolute throughout the Scripture. Each and every day, ladies and gentlemen, you make a decision. Each and every day, we all determine what we're going to do, where we're going to go, etc. But in the little book of James, the Scripture says, we ought to say, Lord willing, this is what we're going to do tomorrow. This is what we'll do the next day. Lord willing, we'll go into the town, buy, sell, and make a profit, is what James is talking about. But ladies and gentlemen, God has created man as a volitional being. Man can choose what he wishes. He can do what he pleases. And yet the sovereign hand of God, the providential hand of God, directs the affairs of this old world. Ladies and gentlemen, every day, most times unseen, most times unrealized, most times unexpected, it is God that divinely intervenes in our lives. Have you ever thought, and I'll touch on this, then we'll introduce our guest that we're talking with today, and then we'll open the telephone line shortly and invite your call. Have you ever, listen carefully, I'm going to try to super simplify. Have you ever gone through an intersection, a busy highway, and just as you go through, or just before you go through the intersection, something takes place with the automobile in front of you, a major cataclysmic collision, and it flashes through your mind, had I been 30 seconds faster, had I been 10 seconds further down the road, that would have been me in that collision, in that intersection. Or some of the other catastrophic event that you can think of that had it been a second or two more, or a day or two difference, or a time lag, you would have faced major, major different scenarios in your life. Now, I don't know about you, but that should be very real in the thinking of each heart and each life. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted to have with me today Dr. Neil Phelps. Dr. Phelps is the Bible doctrine teacher, professor in theology in Conservative Theological University. Dr. Phelps, thank you for taking time to be here with us today. As we think on this subject, Dr. Phelps, I'm going to ask you a question, let you respond briefly, then we'll start taking our callers. Would you take a moment and explain to us, just very briefly, explain to us biblically, theologically, doctrinally, the concept of the sovereignty of God. What is it? What is it not? And what does it say in the Scripture briefly as a nutshell overview, and then we'll dig into the parts of it.
In answer to your question and direction there, I would like to read from Isaiah 46, starting at verse number 8. The Bible tells us this, God's word, in Isaiah 46, verse 8. Remember this, and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O you transgressors. Remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. That's one of the passages in the Bible that expresses the teaching and the truth that God is over all. And one of the things that I realize about the sovereignty of God is God has dominion over all. And a careful study of the scriptures revealed to us that God is all-knowing. He's omniscient. God knows the end from the beginning. He's the Lord of the future, the Lord of the present, Lord of the past. God's knowing ability can be stated in terms of foreknowledge, present knowledge, and future knowledge. Mm-hmm. The divine attribute of foreknowledge means that God knows beforehand what will happen. It's the exclusive prerogative of the only true God to know everything about the entire universe, past, present, and future. And I'm so thankful that that's so.
God is all-knowing. God created this whole world. God sustains this whole world. And God knows the beginning from the ending. That's the reason we're talking about the sovereignty of God. He is all-knowing, all-seeing, and ever-present. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Dr. Gambler.
Yes.
Yes. Everything you were speaking, it is true. And I commend you for your program. But I tell you, it is crazy. And I listen to, I call him President Trump.
That's right.
I call him President Trump. I mean, he was dead on point, and he knew that God, you know, made it impossible for him to survive, to turn this
Kenneth, I don't know where your phone is and your hand or where, but it's very muffled and scratchy. Is there a way you can correct that?
Okay, can you hear me better now?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, but I appreciate Donald Trump knowing that God intervened in his life. And I looked at the program. He knows that God's giving us a second chance. America, a second chance. And like Biden said, he's not going to step down. If this election is stolen again, it's going to be chaos in America. And if Trump wins, like he said, it's going to be the greatest exodus that you've ever seen since Moses' days. It's going to be a great exodus of those illegals. And I talked to my brother-in-law, and he'd be like, oh, man, these people coming over just trying to get jobs. I said, man, you don't understand people coming from overseas, our enemies, to get into America to set us up for failure.
Absolutely. And Kenneth, as you speak on that, I am thinking from the big picture and the long haul with it. All of these things are true. It's taking place. We can even go from that standpoint, what you're saying. If God is sovereign, if God is overall, if God is in control of everything, and the Bible says he is, Is he not able to control, God control the borders? Is God not able to control these nefarious things that are taking place? We can just look at the scripture and find out there's Judas that betrayed the Lord Jesus. Did God not know that? Or is it on this basis, of which I believe is true, God takes all things, in Romans 8:28, works all things together for good. Didn't say everything's good, but he works together all things for good to them that love God, for those that are called according to his purpose. So God is overall sovereignly controlling, and as one writer put it, God is the star, not man. Man is simply one of the players on the scene of humanity, and God is the superstar, if you will. God's the one that's ultimately in control and not man. But yet God gives man free will, and in the free will, the volitional choice of man, we make decisions, we make choices, but God works through it to bring about his will and purpose. We'll talk about that further in the broadcast. But Kenneth, thank you so much for your call, and we need to keep, by the way, touching on something, tying up loose ends. According to Nancy Pelosi, Joe Biden is supposed to step down and announce it sometimes over the weekend. Now, I don't know whether that'll come to pass or not, but that's what the elitists within the Democratic Party are saying. And so we need to be pondering and again looking at the providence of God, the grace of God, the sovereignty of God. How does God's providence, sovereignty, and grace play into what we see on the horizon that's going to take place within the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party? How will that play out from the standpoint of the election November the 5th? And as you said, touched on about the theft of the election, how does God, what does God see, what does God do when those elections are being stolen? Does he sit back and say, I can't do anything about it? Or is he working together all things for the good in the end? We'll talk about that further in this broadcast today. Kenneth, thank you so much for your call. God bless you, and keep looking up. Dr. Phelps, let me ask you another question. Do you have some biblical text? Do you have some biblical text that will point to what we know as the providence of God? Something that we can look at scripturally, biblically, of the providence of God.
Well, one of the great stories in the Bible is that of Joseph, back in the book of Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, his brothers decided that they didn't want him around, and they sold him to some traders who took him down to Egypt and sold him into slavery. Now, the Bible talks about that and what happened to Joseph. And Joseph was of the mentality that God's going to take care of him. God knows the end from the beginning, and God did. But when he went to Egypt and God made arrangements for him to appear before Pharaoh and to discuss to Pharaoh the dream that he'd had, puzzling to the magicians in Egypt. And Joseph told the dream and told him what God intended to do. There again, the sovereignty of God. God was going to do something to preserve the lives of his people, Israel. And so Joseph met with his brothers later, when he was serving as the vice president in Egypt,
prime minister of Egypt.
And God promoted him out of prison to the palace. And God used the circumstances to bring glory and honor to his name. But also, we find that Joseph seemed to understand that. And when his brethren came down, there was a time when he couldn't refrain himself, and he revealed himself to his brothers and told them that this was something that God was doing. And so he invited them to come over close to where he was seated or standing, and in that palace he explained to them what God had done. I'm reading from Genesis chapter 45. Joseph was speaking with his brethren, and he says to them, I pray you, and I want you to understand what God is doing. He says, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Up till that point, they didn't recognize him because of his being exalted to that position and probably the way he was dressed. He says in Genesis 45, verse 6, rather verse 5, now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me here, for God did send me before you to preserve life. Mm-hmm. And that's God's intervention.
That's right, God's intervention. And I believe if you want to look at it from the present current situation with Donald Trump, I believe God preserved his life for the purpose that God has in store to use him for. I believe we have Terry on the line. Terry, go ahead the question or comment, please.
Hi, Dr. Youngblood. And also, too, I didn't get the name of the other gentleman. But
Dr. Phelps is with
me. I never felt as much as an American that I did last night. And when his son mentioned God and that his children know God, and at first it looked like Trump was kind of bent over, but then his shoulders went back. And he described, like when he said that fluttery that went past his ear, and he was wondering what was that. I know best that sound because of when I first got saved, I lived in a very bad government house. And it was like a fresh breeze pushed me back a little bit, and I felt the flutter go across my face to my nose all the way across. And I looked at my window, and it was a hole in the screen. And I was wondering, what was that? And it was a bullet over one of my grandson's bunk beds. And it just felt good. It's like it energized my soul. Because we serve a God, no one will ever know him.
That's right.
No one. And that's just how awesome of a God that we serve, and if people could just open up to him, they will see the miracles that is taking place. When we wake up in the morning, it's a miracle, because who has promised it? And I just thank God, because he's been good to me, and now I'm proud to be an American.
Amen.
And bless God for the USA.
Amen. Thank you so much, Terry, for that testimony.
Son was the first man of color to sing that song.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thank God. I just thank God, and I love you, Dr. Youngblood.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Terry. God bless you, and have a blessed day. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just tuning in, we're talking about what is divine intervention. Our president, Donald J. Trump, talks about God's divine intervention, that God's grace is the reason he's still alive today, and God's divine intervention. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I believe God has a twofold purpose in saving Donald Trump's life. Number one, it's to change his life, for Donald Trump to recognize that it's not by his power, not by his might, but it's by the power of God that sustains him each and every day. So I believe, number one, God is using it to work on in and through the life of Donald J. Trump. Number two, I believe God has preserved him for the very purpose of that which he is planning to use him for in America, to sustain us, to deliver our nation from the abyss and the potentiality of total destruction. Ladies and gentlemen, when you look at the scripture, I'll touch on this and then we'll take our news break. Psalm 66:7 talks about God rules the nations. Genesis 1:15 talks about God's directing human destiny. Psalms 4:8 talks about it is God that protects his people. It's God that is in control. God's seated on his throne, watching over his creation, and in total control, yet man still has a free will to volitionally do as he pleases, but God is still sovereign. God is still in total control of this whole world. He's not lost control, and that's one of the things I believe that God is showing Donald J. Trump, President Trump, for the future administration and leadership that he will give us in America. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.